You're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network of podcasts.
Hello and welcome to the 74th episode of ToonCast, brought to you by the GeekCast Radio Network. I'm your host, Steve, John Mike, and today I'm joined by Kevin Autosola Thompson. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Yeah, I didn't catch that first part. I only caught the end part. It's a good thing I skipped over that.
If our host was a better reader of scripts, he would have read that properly.
No, that's deleted.
For all of you listening, I wrote the script for today, and I threw in some little things for Mike to say, and unfortunately he caught them before we aired.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, darn it.
Asshats.
I'll try again next time. And in case you want in on a running joke, apparently every time I do something I get called an asshat now.
Everybody gets called an asshat now.
Which in return I'm going to start calling you a twat hat.
No, Jesus, that's even worse.
Just because I just listened to the last podcast, or the last episode of All Things Transformers, in which Optobotomus, God, I can't say that guy's name, said twat accidentally, so now I can't stop throwing that into the podcast.
Jesus. And today we are
You did not just say that after I said twat.
Oh, Jesus.
I don't know what that means, but I think we're all going to hell now.
Hell, I've already been to hell and back, so I'm okay. I'm good.
I'm in hell once a week when I do a podcast with you.
Oh, whatever.
We're off to a great start.
Well, fine, then. I can kick you off for the last 26 episodes.
Apparently when you were in hell, they took your math skills away.
Shut up. Today we are going to be talking about that famous spinach advocate and everyone's favorite Sailor Man, Popeye.
Toot toot.
Yeah. So, how have you been, sir?
I have been pretty darn good, I would say.
That's good, that's good.
Good is a good word. Let's see, what have I been doing recently? I have... besides listening to a few of the GeekCast Radio podcasts, let's see, painting the outside of my house is almost done, so I'm almost actually done with all outside work, so that'll be nice, especially since it's starting to get a little bit colder outside.
That's a good thing. What the hell are you talking about?
I am saying it's a good thing that I'm almost done, so I can...
No, I'm saying it's a good thing that it's getting colder outside.
Yeah, that's not a bad thing. It's just different. I'd rather it be kind of cold than super hot. Let's see, what else am I doing? Watching more cartoons and prep for more ToonCast, obviously. BTVA, I've been adding a bunch of stuff over there now that I finished some kind of behind-the-scenes project stuff. I added the Police Academy series, the Perils of Penelope Pit Stop, the often unknown Today Special, Eureka's Castle, Little Muppet Monsters, and I just got done adding 510 characters to the Sesame Street page. That took a few days.
There was 510
characters?
Well,
I'm not done yet. That's just how many I got so far.
I don't remember there being that many characters in Sesame Street.
Well, I think they're on their 42nd season now, 41st or 42nd season now, and over 4,000 episodes.
Yeah.
It starts to pile up.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know, maybe it's because I haven't watched Sesame Street in a very long time, but I remember back in the day that, you know, of course, like I said, I can't watch it today because I don't even think we have a PBS affiliate here, at least not on basic classic cable.
Yeah.
You know, Bert, Ernie, Oscar, Elmo, Count. Cookie Monster, Grover, Big Bird, Snuffleupagus, or whatever the fuck his name is.
The main ones have basically stayed true throughout the years, but it's where they pile up is all their little extra, you know, recurring minor roles and stuff like that.
You're not referring to the humans, are you?
No humans. We only do the voices. But there's lots of, like, what they would do is they would take a standard Muppet, and they had, you know, their certain color. There was only certain colors they used, and they basically they had the skinny model or the fat model, and they would basically use that same Muppet as numerous different characters by dressing it up differently.
Yeah.
And that's where they get a lot of them. And I think early on, I don't think they do it as much anymore, but I think, you know, early on there was a stage where a lot of people were experimenting with different things and whatnot. The crazy thing about it is out of those 500 characters, there's really only about a dozen voice actors that have been used, you know, mainly. There's been some that have been used just kind of for a role here, for a role there, but I mean, you have people like Frank Oz and obviously Jim Henson, and then I didn't know, but in the, you know, Jerry Nelson and a guy named Richard Hunt, where each one of them did over like 50 characters.
Yep.
So it's just kind of insane. Other than that, yeah, it's like, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, it's like with before Mr. Henson passed away. I don't remember. When did he pass away?
1990-something.
Okay, so it was after he passed away. About 5 years ago, I was watching, because every Christmas I watch A Muppet's Christmas Carol and A Very Muppet Christmas. A Very Muppet Christmas with Whoopi Goldberg and David Arquette. And I realized a few years ago that, holy crap, Kermit and Fozzie and Bert and Ernie are the exact same voice actors for their respective characters. Like, Kermit and Ernie, same guy.
Right.
Bert and Fozzie, same guy.
Right. Yeah, he passed in 1990, and what happened is a couple of days ago or a week ago or whatever, he showed up in our front page. We have either people's birthdays or we have, like, in remembrance of people that were born that day. And he had showed up because he would have just turned 74, I think it was last week, which kind of got me on a kick because I had already added the whole cast from the Muppet movie. But I decided to add The Great Muppet Caper and then to add Sesame Street. And then I got to go back and add a couple of the other Muppet movies like A Christmas Carol and a couple other ones to kind of round it out. But so I kind of got on a Jim Henson kick, so... That's what I've been doing recently over there. And then, of course, the other thing I did this week was, which apparently was a big deal, which I didn't really think it was, but I fast-forwarded my DVR a couple weeks to October 10th just to see if I could see what shows were on what, and I decided, well, since I did it, I might as well write it down and post it so other people can see it without having to scroll through themselves. So I posted the Hub's first 2 days on our news section of Behind the Voice Actors, and I just for the heck of it posted it at TFW also. Within about 10 minutes, it was already front-paged on tformers.com, allspark.com, cybertron.com, Histank, and a couple other places. The only reason I'm bringing it up is because I got a rant about an asshole, and I don't usually swear a lot, but an asshole over at tformers.com. Because everybody else did it the right way. They posted the news and at least cited, you know, that a member at TFW or someone from Behind the Voice Actor, some of them even named me or whatever, which is cool. The guy at T-Formers saw the link at TFW. His name is Bumble Muss or something stupid like that. Saw the link at TFW, went to BehindTheVoiceActors.com to the news story where the whole schedule was, highlighted it all, copied and pasted it into T-Formers.com, the news section, without ever saying anything about where he got it, and basically passed it off like it was his.
Oh.
Now, I realize that anybody could have fast-forwarded the DVR and whatever, and it's not like I, like, cracked some type of, like, frickin', you know, code. And like,
yeah, it's not like you know, it's not like you're in contact with somebody at the Hub,
right.
So.
But it was just the principle of the asshole copied it word for word and then didn't say shit about where he got it from that kind of pissed me off. So I kind of raised a stink over there, and one of the mods, I think, took care of it for me, because all of a sudden a link to BTVA was on the front page. But it was just the point of the whole mess. But it was crazy that it got to me, that it got passed around that quickly.
Yeah.
But I guess it was a big deal.
It went viral fairly fast. Wow. You've had two things that you've done
Now, this doesn't really compare to the Martian at all, but...
Yeah, but still, it's...
It was still pretty quick, and I actually, just for the heck of it, did like a Google search, and I just put first 2 days of Hub Network or something like that, worded it like that, and it came up with like 10 or 12 hits like instantly. And I was like, all right. And then it's funny when you see other sites quoting my name as far as Optimus Solo, which is what I use at Behind the Voice Actors and most of the Transformers site, but actually using it in like stuff that I had no idea what they were even using it in. Like, okay, that's cool, I guess. But I'm excited for I know you're not going to get the Hub Network, and I don't blame you for not getting it and not, you know, spending extra money for it. I totally get that.
It's not that, I mean, if I had the money to spend on digital cable and I was going to actually, I mean, I watch my TV fairly regularly now anyways, but if I was going to get the digital cable, that's all well and good if it came with the package that I got, but I am not going to go out and spend god amounts of money on cable service just to get one network where half of the shows that they have on there, G1, Beast Wars, whatever other old Transformers cartoons that they're going to put on there, I have them on DVD.
Exactly,
I can just put
the
DVD in my computer. So, I mean, I'll find, quote-unquote, some other way to get Prime.
Right.
And you know.
The reason, the main reason I'm excited for it, number one, obviously, is for the all-new type shows that will, you know, and some of them are going to be stupid, maybe all of them are going to be stupid and terrible, but I just like watching new shows and kind of evaluating, you know, them on the first view or whatever. But the one reason I like the Hub so far is because I think it's going to give our generation a chance to expose new generations to some of the stuff we liked. You know, so it's good just for that, whether you have it or not. I am thinking about having an all-day or a two-day marathon, not necessarily a marathon, but watching every one that's a brand new show and doing some type of review on it. But just the nostalgia of having Family Ties, Wonder Years, Doogie Howser, Happy Days. I believe the Batman is either going to be the 60s Batman, but there's a outside shot that it's going to be Batman the Animated Series, as well as Batman Beyond, which is for sure showing. And then
I don't understand that part.
Yeah, I don't know why they got Batman Beyond. And then the other one just is listed as Batman, so it could be just about anything. But because they're showing it right after Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley and before G1 and the original G.I. Joe, it makes me think that it should be something old, not something within the last, you know, 5 or 10 years.
Yeah, it's probably going to be the 60s live-action show because I was looking at...
And that'd be cool to watch that a couple times.
Yeah, it will be. Seeing as how it's not on DVD yet,
It'll
probably never be on DVD unless the rights issues get settled. But I don't understand why.
Oh,
unless Hub, you know, Margaret Lesh and all the people at Hub or Hasbro or whatever made a deal with Warner Brothers, I don't see how they can put Batman Beyond on the Hub.
They've actually made deals with quite a few different people. I actually read an article where they were making a kind of a conscientious effort to not stick strictly with Hasbro products. They are going to have a majority of Hasbro back stuff, obviously, especially like they have a hour show, I don't know if it's every night or once a week, called Family Game Night. That's going to be all Hasbro type, you know, board games or whatever games they can somehow get in like a Double Dare type live show format.
Right, so, yeah.
They're obviously going to have that, but they're trying to make deals with people like Warner Brothers, Mattel, whoever they can, to try to bring in all different groups. They're not going to be obsessed with this is just promotion of Hasbro, as I think they're going to be a little bit more obsessed, as they want this to be the one place to go for, you know, they want this to be the best cartoon network out there, so they realize that they have to kind of reach out to all their competition as well. I should mention the other kind of harkbacks to our childhood are Fraggle Rock and Men in Black is making an appearance. That kind of surprised me.
Mm.
I wouldn't think there'd be that big of a fan base for Men in Black, but whatever.
Yeah, whatever. You know what surprises me that's not on that schedule as far as the Hub stuff?
Right.
Gem.
Yeah, that I am surprised because they basically stated that they're going to have different time slots dedicated to different age groups.
Right.
They have like a 9 to 1 9 a.m. to about right after lunch, which is dedicated, supposed to be dedicated to a preschool audience. They have a like 1 to like 4-ish, which is supposed to be kind of the 9 to 13-year-olds. Then they have a the early prime time is supposed to be more family oriented, and then the late prime time is supposed to be for us older, you know, upper 20, early 30 type crowd, to watch after the kids have gone to bed or to watch with their kids later on a night or whatever. But the reason I brought that up is because in the early time slots, the preschool, whatever they're calling it, they do have girl oriented cartoons like Strawberry Shortcakes, Pound Puppies, My Little Pony. So I'm surprised they didn't do any type of, you know, retro show like they are with G.I. Joe's, Transformers, and some of the live action stuff.
And see, that's what surprises me is that, like you just said, you know, they've got Care Bears and My Little Pony and Rainbow Bright and Strawberry Shortcake. Well,
not all those, but some of those.
Where's Jem? You know,
you'd think like Jem or She-Ra would be a good one to bring in.
Yeah.
But I guess we'll see how. I mean, obviously this
Well,
is
they couldn't bring in She-Ra.
Yeah, because it's not. Yeah, I know, but
because it's Filmations and. Yeah,
but yeah, you're right. This is just the first couple of days, so who knows what's going to happen. Some of these might, you know, tank immediately. Some of them might tick off. They might be trying different stuff at the beginning. Obviously, Transformers Prime is nowhere to be seen yet, so we'll see how it develops. And Beast Wars is nowhere to be seen yet either.
Yeah, Beast Wars will show up eventually. And something else that's very interesting, and I'm going to mention this in episode tomorrow. We're recording this Wednesday, September 29th. I'll be recording Beast Unleashed podcast episode 24 with Steve and Michael on the 30th. This will be released, I think, next week.
Mm-hmm.
I think, well, as we're recording, this will be released one week from when we record it. But a friend of mine was like, oh, well, you know, I want to see Beast Wars or whatever. I want to see if I can, you know, find it, you know, wherever, find the DVDs. The original 3-season DVDs were done by Rhino.
Hmm.
And when Steve and I had plotted out the Beast Unleashed podcast, I was like, well, we can't start this until I get all 3 seasons on DVD, because I'm not going to try to find it. I want the DVDs. I don't want to have to find it on YouTube or wherever else. So I had already bought Beast Machines off of eBay from one of the top sellers on eBay, and it was, you know, mint in package, whatever. And in the thing, there was a little advertisement that said, you know, Beast Machines, and it says, oh, all 3 seasons of Beast Wars, you can buy at rhino.com. So, this was almost a year ago. So, this is like back in December of 2009. It was like November, December last year. So, when I had the money, I went to Rhino, and I got one set of each. With overnight shipping, it came to like $122. And I'm rounding up. It was like $121 and change. So, $122 for all 3 seasons, not bad. Well, my buddy was saying, oh, well, I want to be able to watch these and whatever else. I said, oh, well, instead of going to eBay and paying, you know, crazy prices, let me see if it's still on Rhino.com. It is no longer.
Hmm.
The only thing Beast Era related that's on Rhino's website to purchase is Beast Machines. The first 3 seasons of Beast Wars are gone. So I'm wondering if Rhino has either given up the rights back to Hasbro, or if they've lost the rights.
I wouldn't be surprised, and then that would mean that the only reason why they have Beast Machines is because they hadn't sold through those yet.
Right. See, that's what I'm thinking, because we don't know the extent of the deal with Hasbro and Shout Factory as far as being the distributor. But
and honestly, right now you don't know what kind of deals Hasbro has made that we don't know about in relation to this network.
Right, exactly. And the other thing is, you know, we've got G1.
Mm-hmm.
And Shout Factory was shopping around on Twitter and stuff, asking fans would they want to see the Japanese cartoons on DVD. So...
Sure, why not?
I'm assuming that they've got Beast Wars.
I would assume that they could have a lot of things we don't know about.
Well, I know that, but
yeah, I'm just saying you're right.
I'm just saying it's gone from Rhino.
Gotcha.
And the only way you're going to get it is on eBay or extremely outrageous prices on Amazon. Like, the complete first season on Amazon is like $133.
Well, that's insane.
Yeah.
Unless you somehow get it, unless they make it one of Amazon's deals of the day, those are the only good things that Amazon does.
Well, sometimes they have good prices. But
used to have the buy one and you might like this one, so we'll give it to you, like, super
cheap
type thing. And I did that a couple times, but...
Yeah, they still have that, but the thing of it is I think the reason why the Beast Wars DVDs are those kind of prices now, same thing with the Rhino G1 DVDs. Because they're so rare and they're out of print, you know?
Right.
So we kind of deviated. What else?
This is not Tooncast, folks.
Yes, well, it is. We're talking cartoons.
This is Tooncast, just general Tooncast.
Yeah.
What else have I done? The last thing that I thought I should mention is I picked up my first Generations non-G1 toys. I picked up the Cybertronian Megatron, and I picked up a Cybertronian Optimus to compare. Although I have not opened them yet. I apologize. I don't know why. I've just been sidetracked. But I love the look of Megatron.
Yeah, Megatron is awesome. I like his... On the toy, I like his robot mode the best. The alt modes, it's okay, but it's just... It's not my... It's accurate to the game, but it's just, it's not my style.
Like you, I continue to pass on all the non War for Cybertron or non G1 crap that they're putting in that line.
It's not really crap. It's
I don't care for.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with Drift. I don't have a problem with Dark Mount, who is supposed to be Straxus, which is a callback to a toy that was supposed to have been made but never made or something or other like that. I don't have a problem with those figures. It's not something that I want to buy.
Right.
It just doesn't appeal to me.
I'll wait for my blurs and my red alerts and my dirges.
Red alert, yuck. Blur. I'll probably get Blur, but Red Alert, no way. So, anyways, I have been... actually, I've been watching a lot of cartoons myself, obviously, because podcasting and all that. But recently, I just got Superman Batman Apocalypse, and wow. Mm-hmm. Love it. I meant to bring this up in 73. I don't think I did, but I've been collecting the Masters of the Universe Classics figures.
Yay.
I don't really want to get... The only way I'm getting these figures is if they're on BigBadToyStore.com, because getting them through Maddie... And everybody said, well, just get the 2011 subscription. I'm thinking, well, the figures that I want are already out.
Yeah.
So, you know, the 2011 subscription doesn't really help me. So there's that. What else have I been doing? Just podcasting, lining up some interviews here soon.
Good.
Working on that stuff. So other than that, I think we should get into the history lesson.
All right, Tooncast fans, for today's...
Oh, wait, sorry. Before you start that, sorry.
We got to do a disclaimer.
Yeah, because Popeye has such a rich history, and he's pretty much spanned over the last 40-something years, 50-something years, Kevin just couldn't do one simple paragraph blurb. There's like 8 paragraphs here. So we are going to be alternating paragraphs, so it kind of flows a little bit better instead of... You know, Kevin losing his voice after 5 minutes reading this thing.
I don't want to feel like an actual voice actor after a session, so.
I am not Wally Burr. I'm saying that for the record. I am not Wally Burr.
No, we've already decided that you're Doc and I'm Marty McFly.
Yeah, anyway.
All right, Tooncast fans.
History lesson.
For today's lesson, we actually may need a DeLorean for it because we have to go all the way back to 1929 to find the origin of our star, Popeye. It was in 1929 when Popeye first appeared in the comics strip entitled Thimble Theater In this comic strip, he was a supporting character, not the main star. He was a supporting character for a character named Ham Gravy and Ham's girlfriend, Olive Oil, as well as Olive's brother, Castor Oil. Wow. Okay. Oh, now get...
That's horrible.
Get back in the DeLorean because we got to go a little bit in the future here. Next stop, 1933, when after briefly appearing as, again, a supporting character for the famous Betty Boop, Popeye the Sailor Man finally got first bill along with Olive Oil and a brand new character, the gargantuan bearded villain, Bluto.
In 24 years and 234 cartoons later, we step out of the DeLorean to find Paramount selling their entire Popeye package to Associated Artists Production, a United Artists subsidiary. This turned out to be a gold mine for AAP, since Popeye was easily the biggest syndicated kids show in its era. However, King Features and Newspaper Syndicate, who had licensed Popeye to Paramount back in 1933, were not very happy, since they were not reaping any of the benefits of this TV bonanza. Oh, boy. You really put a bonanza reference in? Holy fuck. What the hell is wrong with you, asshat? So, yeah. Let's get back in the car and go to 1960.
All right. In order to cash in on their property, King Features immediately started production on 220 of their very own new Popeye cartoons for TV, in which this time they could reap all the profits for. They also started bashing the former cartoons, saying in a TV Guide article that kids are tired of the theatrical Popeye cartoons that had been run to death on TV. So in order to have 220 new cartoons ready for the following fall, King Features decided to focus a little more on verbal humor over visual to try to save some time animation-wise, and although they were able to reel in all of the old voice actors from the theatrical tunes, in a weird twist, now Popeye's nemesis was named Brutus instead of Bluto. Why, you may ask? Because King Features owned the names Popeye and Olive Oil from their original comic days, but Paramount, they thought, owned Bluto since it was a character that appeared during Paramount's tenure. Not, like some believe, because Disney threatened that Bluto was too close to Pluto and they might sue them. The funny part about the story is that Bluto actually appeared in the comics almost a full year before the first cartoon aired, so King Features could have used all three names because they owned all of them.
Uh-huh. Okay. Wait. Okay, yeah. So in order to produce 220 cartoons in less than 2 years, King Features shipped its storyboards out to five different animation studios, including Jack Kenny Studios, Rembrandt Films, Larry Harmon Productions. Two staffers in the studio were two guys named Hal Sutherland and Lou Scheimer, however, whoever they are. Jerk. Gerald Ray's TV spots and Paramount Cartoon Studios. The results of this one may say... what?
One may say lead.
Okay, there we go. Led to the most schizophrenic character in cartoon history. Talk about one character in search of identity.
Okay, so after working on five studios there... Okay, enough of the King Features version. Let's jump back in the DeLorean and head for 1978 and see what we find there. In 1978, we find none other than Hanna-Barbera taking over, does the 70s people, for a show entitled The All-New Popeye Hour. The biggest change in this version was the replacement of most of the voice cast outside of Popeye, and wouldn't you know, the reintroduction of Bluto instead of Brutus. Hanna-Barbera easily made the King Features cartoons look like sidewalk chalk drawings. Of course, the fighting and the love triangle angles were greatly downplayed, though, to please CBS censors. Even Popeye's famous pipe was no longer used to smoke anything, but just as a instrument. Components of this show included Adventures of Popeye, Popeye's Treasure Hunt, Popeye's Sports Parade, Dinky Dog, and to top things off, of course, we had Popeye's Safety Tips. This Popeye series from Hanna-Barbera lasted for 2 seasons and 35 episodes.
And finally, we will end our time travel journey with a final stop in 1986 for Hanna-Barbera's Popeye and Son, which featured Popeye and Popeye Jr. Bluto also now had a son named Tank. Bluto the... blown up tank, maybe? I don't know. I was trying to figure out a joke between the two of them, but no, that doesn't work. The biggest thing to note of this series was that it was the first time Popeye had not been voiced by his original voice actor, Jack Mercer, who had passed away in 1984. Taking on the role for the 13 episodes of Popeye and Son was a Canadian voice actor some of you may have heard of, Maurice LaMarche. Not Lee, La. what are your thoughts and memories of Popeye?
Well, besides not ever knowing any of that stuff about Popeye when I was a kid, obviously, I remember Popeye as being one of my favorite cartoon characters before 80s cartoons took over. I mean, I know I was born in the 80s, but like before I actually knew all of the good 80s cartoons, like when I was real little and my older siblings were the ones watching cartoons, I just remember I loved Popeye. I loved Popeye almost more than I loved Looney Tunes as a small child. Just because of the actual Popeye character. I hated olive oil, and we'll get into that later, but I just loved the way Popeye talked. I loved his speech impediment, or whatever you want to call it. And
that's what I would call it.
And I just loved him as a character. I didn't necessarily like the show as much as I liked like Looney Tunes and those other things, but as a singular character, I really liked Popeye himself.
See, it's funny. I remember everything from 83 on, as far as cartoons go, 1983 till now. Most of my childhood, you know, being at my mom's house in Massachusetts and watching cartoons in the 80s, I remember it all as one giant mashup. Mm-hmm. Like, you had Transformers on one end, you had G.I. Joe on the other, you had Thundercats on the other, you had Silverhawks in the Eighth Circle of Hell.
Shut up.
You had...
I'll send Copper Kid after you.
Oh, please. Never mind. Anyway, you had Mask, and then you have, like, Looney Tunes and Scooby-Doo and all the Hanna-Barbera stuff on the other side of the spectrum. Mm-hmm. So, for me, Popeye was... It was okay. I thought it was kind of weird that they would show a cartoon character smoking a pipe. I was a D.A.R.E. kid. You know, just say no, thank you very much.
He's the old-fashioned version of Shipwreck from G.I. Joe. Just kidding, he's not at all.
that's really scary, actually.
Popeye's kind of like Woody Woodpecker and a couple of those other ones. They were like the old-style cartoons that weren't Looney Tunes or Hanna-Barbera.
I agree.
They didn't really have a place as far as they were kind of singular identities or singular characters. So sometimes they kind of, kind of float around in that like limbo area because they're not Looney Tunes or Hanna-Barbera, but they're still, they're still good.
Right. And Popeye to me, the best parts of it were, I don't know. It's kind of weird, the whole love triangle crap.
Yeah, and see, that's why I'm saying it wasn't necessarily the stories or...
Yeah, I mean, the basis of the story, and of course we'll get into this once we get into the actual show part, down the line of the show here, but, I mean, the basic story of the love triangle crap was Bluto was this... supposedly he was portrayed as this, like, creepy stalker whatever, I guess you could call him a rapist. I mean, or potential rapist.
Right.
Yes, you heard it here first, folks, on Tooncast from Geekcast Radio Network. DFG and Mike's thinks Bluto was a rapist, the first cartoon rapist.
You may have a point there. You may have a point.
Well, if you look at it, most of the cartoons, the old cartoons, when they were doing the love triangle bit, you had Bluto being knocked off his feet by olive oil, I guess. And then you have, him trying to go after her, him trying to kidnap. He's a fucking kidnapper or adult
napper.
He can just
pick her up and take her away.
Yeah, pretty much. And then you have, Popeye coming in trying to, rescue her. And of course, at first, Bluto beats him down, and then Popeye pops out this can of spinach.
Eat your spinach, folks.
Oh, God. I'm sorry. I watched a few of the cartoons earlier today, and I know this is bad, but every time I see him with his pipe in his mouth and he's putting spinach in his mouth, it just thinks it just reminds me that he could be eating weed.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Well, apparently there was the reason they chose spinach was kind of to make fun of this report that came out back in the whatever it was when this comic, it was either to make fun of it or it was because of the actual report that came back out in the late 20s or early 30s. Some type of, I don't know if it's FDA type, I mean, that wasn't around, but like some type of government group that put out a report that spinach had a certain nutritional value, including this iron content, but they accidentally had shifted a decimal so that it was reported that it had 10 times the amount of whatever it had in it, more than it had. So everybody was all like, oh, this is the greatest thing ever because it has so much of whatever it was, iron or whatever, even though it was a mistake that someone made by putting a decimal in a wrong spot.
Oh my God.
either it was because of that report or it was to make fun of that report that spinach was the energy drink of its time. To think about it, Popeye was ahead of his time, man.
The energy drink of its time. Oh my God. That's a lumpy energy drink.
Yuck.
I mean that's like having super pulp in your orange juice.
Please no. I prefer no pulp.
So do I.
Oh my God, we actually agree on something.
Hey, shut up. We've agreed on a lot of crap.
That's true.
For me, Popeye's okay. I like the more comedy versions, especially when Wimpy shows up, the hamburger.
Yeah.
The hamburger version.
Yeah, I just like Wimpy, and I like Popeye as a character. I'm not necessarily a huge fan of the actual cartoons or of the series or anything like that. Just as an individual character, I like him.
I mean, the cartoons, like the ones where Wimpy came in, those were funny.
Yeah.
But the whole love triangle thing...
It was creepy because they were all creepy.
Yeah.
Basically, you have this big, bloated, muscular kidnapping rapist. You have Olive Oil, who is not attractive at all and is apparently has no ability to stand up for herself or protect herself.
She?
And then you have a one-eyed sailor.
I hate to say this, but she quite possibly could be fugglier than Snow White.
It's a battle. I was going to say that earlier, that it's basically those two are... I don't know how they could be like the love interest of anyone.
Oh, God.
But I guess if you have a big muscular kidnapping rapist and a one-eyed sailor, that's probably the two that would like her.
Yeah. So moving on to the voice cast. Wow, this is going to be a long show. You had Jack Mercer. Maurice LaMarche as Popeye. Maurice did the voice in Popeye and Son, but Jack Mercer was the voice of Popeye.
So basically 70 years almost. Part. Well, 50,
yeah.
60 years, however it was.
Yeah, something like that. And, you know, Popeye himself, outside of, you know, hopping up on spinach steroids, he's pretty much a wimp himself.
Yeah.
You know, I don't see any stereotypical.
He's very unique.
Like, he is very unique, but I see no like regular stereotypical character traits to him whatsoever. Like you know how you have the one character that plays everything straight, and you have the other character that's all off the wall. Like, all right, Bugs and Daffy. Bugs can get wacky when he needs to be, but pretty much Bugs is the straight man.
Right.
Whereas Daffy is a fucking loon.
Right.
He just is. He's the comedy. He's the one that always gets shit that happens to him. I don't see that.
Yeah, it's kind of, I think it's kind of like we were talking about in the history lesson. He's basically almost a schizophrenic character because so many different studios were doing different things with him without any, obviously, any contact with each other. They're all doing independent takes on this character. So when you put them all and mash them all together, you know, you just get this character that has no, you know, consistent personality traits. Yeah. You know, and then Hanna-Barbera and takes over and gives their own take on it. So it's just like, it's always a different Popeye.
Right. You know, and I think it can also be compared to Tom and Jerry.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Tom and Jerry is pretty much the same formula, but it's different designs because you had Hanna-Barbera doing it first. And then you had the Gene Deutsch or Deitch or whatever the fuck his name was. Mm-hmm. You had those years. And then you had Chuck Jones doing it. Mm-hmm. So same kind of principle, except the whole scheme of Tom and Jerry never changed. It's cat chases mouse. Whereas Popeye, you had all these different studios working on the same character or on the same set of characters, and each one was doing.
Because it's been around for so long, you had different eras that would allow for certain different things. You know,
exactly.
Obviously, back in the day, there was a lot more fighting between Bluto or Brutus, whichever one it was at the time, and Popeye. You know, there would be a lot more fisticuffs, smoking of the pipe. There'd be a lot more seductive tones to the olive oil scenes and stuff like that. And then as you go through time, all, you know, and we get censors and, you know, 70s pro-social nonsense coming in, you know, you see a big shift in the 80 years that it was on TV.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, when you have a character now carrying around a pipe that does nothing but toot on it, did I just say that?
Yeah.
Instead of smoke on it. And you have eventually you have a Popeye that never punches Bluto ever.
Yeah,
you have to resort to outsmarting him or stuff like that, which is not something that Popeye would have done.
No.
Originally.
Well, yeah. So, going down the list here, you have Wimpy, who was voiced by Jack Mercer pretty much everything until the Hanna-Barbera days, and then Dawes Butler took over. And then Alvin Melvin took over in Popeye and Son. Wimpy, really no character. He was pretty much a third wheel.
Oh yeah.
Or hell, if you really want to think about it, he was a fourth wheel.
Yeah.
Because if you look at some of the ones with Wimpy, when it's the love triangle between Bluto or Bruto. See, I always thought his damn name was Bruto, like a combination of Bluto and Bruticus. So I don't know, but Wimpy is pretty much a Hamburglar for Popeye.
Yeah.
He's always eating hamburgers. Mm-hmm.
I liked him though, as a character. I like him and Popeye. I don't really like any other character on this show.
And I watched one where it's something about they went to court where Bluto was accusing Popeye of beating it, you know, the whole reverse psychology thing, and Wimpy was the judge. Mm. And he had hamburgers on the bench. Nice. So that was kind of funny.
Think about it, it's kind of a mixed message. Eat your spinach and then down some hamburgers.
Yeah. Or maybe they were trying to be the first, mixed, carnivores and vegetarians.
There you go.
Eat your veggie burgers, kids.
God, don't say that ever again.
Eat your veggie burgers, kids.
I'm going to kill you later.
Yeah, right.
We'll wait till we're off air so nobody has to hear it.
Yeah. trust me, that's not the worst thing I've said on this show. and then you have the quote-unquote female lead.
Who has the worst name ever?
Olive Oil.
Who wants a girl named Olive Oil?
First of all, the name Olive Oil. You think of virgin olive oil, which clearly she is no virgin.
Or you think of olives, or you think of oil.
Yeah.
Either which by themselves are very attractive things.
Where's a martini when you really need it?
Yeah.
Shake a not stirred.
I hate olive oil.
The one thing I noticed, I watched like three or four of these cartoons on YouTube, and I watched three or four different ones, so I don't know what era I watched them from. I'm not really sure. One thing I noticed about Olive In every cartoon that I watched, she had some sort of green dress. Mm. And her name is fucking Olive, which is a color of green.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Fucking shoot me now.
I just
hated
her because it seemed like she couldn't pick. And you have a kidnapping rapist, and then you have Popeye. And, like, you should be with Popeye. You should not help Bluto. You should not make it easy for Bluto. It's just, like, I just always got pissed at her. Even as a kid, I remember getting pissed at her. I didn't even know what love triangles were. I just knew I hated olive oil.
See.
It was like the girl that sets her boyfriend up to get in a fight because she flirts with some guy at a bar or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, she does nothing to avoid the situation, but just expects the boyfriend to come in, like, you know, gangbusters and defend her honor, even though she's the one that created this situation.
Yeah.
I hate you, olive oil. You should drown in olive oil.
Moving on. Well, before we move on, we should mention that she was voiced by Mae Questel, and then Marilyn Schreffer. Wasn't May the voice of Betty Boop?
Yeah, I think so. She was a ton of voices back then, and she did a ton of commercials back in the early television days. Not any commercials we'd, like, know or anything like that, but she was a big commercial voice, and I think Betty Boop and Olive Oil and a couple of things like that. And Marilyn Schreffler, or however you say it, was a mainstay for Hanna-Barbera. She did a lot of female characters for them.
Yeah. I mainly remember the only time, I mean, I've seen a lot of Betty Boop material as far as, like, merchandising and stuff, but first time I ever saw her was in Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yeah. She was also one of those that was supposed to be this seductive type chick, but, I mean, she was a little better than Olive Oil, but still, I don't know. People had weird tastes back in the day, apparently.
Sweepy? I don't remember Sweepy.
Sweepy and Sea Hag. Sea Hag was the original bad character before Bluto. So she would appear in all the early stuff, not any of the more recent stuff. I mean, she did appear in some of the Hanna-Barbera stuff, but she's not, like, the main villain like she was back then. Sweepy, I'm like you, I don't remember. I recognize the name, and she must have been, you know, more than a one-time shot, but I don't know much about her.
I think it might have been their kid.
Okay. Could be Popeye's, like, supposed kid.
Yeah, I'm not sure. And then, you know, when you have to go to a therapist, you want to go to Bluto. Get it? The rapist therapist.
Or Brutus. He'll stab you. Or wait, no, yes. That's Julius Caesar. I'm sorry.
Yeah. He was voiced by Jackson Beck before Hanna-Barbera and Alan Melvin after once Hanna-Barbera got a hold of it. And again, like we've said over the past 47 minutes, he's a kidnapper.
And a rapist.
He's a rapist. I shouldn't really say he's a rapist. He's a potential rapist because he never actually does get Olive.
I don't know if he has a single redeeming quality. He's a kidnapping rapist that has bad hygiene, is dirty, and I don't know. I could keep going.
Yeah.
There's not much to like about him, really. Almost less than there is to like about Olive Oil. They should have been together. Maybe Popeye should have found someone much better looking and gone off with her.
Man, I know we're going to get a ton of comments on this episode.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Not you. Everybody else. The super fan over there, Kevin C., I know he's going to probably be commenting on this on this episode. Popeye Jr., which is Popeye's son, obviously, and Tank, I know nothing about. I don't remember Popeye and Son whatsoever.
The Popeye Jr. was the product of Popeye and Olive Oil, obviously, who looked nothing like either one of them and hated spinach. So
now, see, I remember the three little kids in the old cartoons. Yeah, Popeye's nephews.
They were all a version of Pop something.
Yeah, well, they were miniature versions of Popeye, but they were his nephews. It's similar. Oh God, I can't believe I have to do this, but it's similar to Donald, Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
Right.
That type of thing. It's Uncle Popeye.
Oh yeah.
And the three nephews, Uncle Donald, and the three nephews. And I remember them hating spinach in one episode. And throughout the whole episode, he's trying to force them to eat it. And one of them finally does. And at the end, I think they still spit it out and they still say, "We still hate spinach," or whatever.
So basically, the only consistent thing that followed Popeye through 80 years of cartoons is that they accurately portrayed kids as hating spinach. But I also question the fact that Popeye Jr. looked nothing like Popeye or olive oil. I'm thinking something with that.
Like Pluto?
Look nothing like Popeye or olive oil, Popeye Jr. So
right.
So either Bluto was in there or something with that love triangle, something happened.
Yeah.
And then Tank is, of course, Bluto, and I can't remember his wife's name, their son, and I don't know much about him, and I don't know either of the voice actors.
Well, yes, you do.
Do I?
Oh, no. That's another note. Apparently, I thought Don Messick did him.
Oh.
But Don Messick was Eugene the Jeep.
I don't know who that was, but I saw it and I thought it was interesting.
I don't know either. Again, I didn't watch Popeye and Son, so...
Well, I don't think it's available on YouTube. I don't know how you would watch it. Because I did search for it just as I was...
I'm saying, back in the day, gotcha. I know I never watched Popeye and Son.
I did not watch them either.
So would you say Popeye is your favorite character?
Popeye, and then seconded by Wimpy.
I agree.
And then moving... all others should drown in a vat of olive oil.
We're going to get a ton of hate mail on this episode. I already know. Send all hate mail to Steve at geekcastradio.com. Moving on to behind the scenes segment. The original cartoons, the series was directed by Jack Kenny, Seymour Kintel, and, oh, Christ, Gene Deitch, or Deitcher, however the fuck you say his name, Tom McDonald, Paul Fennell, and Bob B. Miller, whatever.
I don't know any of them except for Gene Deitch.
Yeah, Gene Deitch, yeah. I don't recognize any of these writers whatsoever. The first Hanna-Barbera stuff was nobody we know.
Carl Urbano, I remember him directing other stuff. And the writers, we've heard of a few of them.
Well, I hadn't got there yet, sorry. But yeah.
Calm down. Me.
Andy Hayward. Oh, boy. Bob Ogle. That's a horrible last name to have.
Doug Booth.
Yeah, Doug Booth.
He was the Transformers guy at some point.
Oh, okay. And then Popeye and Son, you had John Kimball. Holy crap. Wasn't that an old character?
I don't know. Might have been.
Yeah, the Kimball... Richard Kimball. Yeah, Kindergarten Cop.
Okay, there we go.
There we go.
The only writer I recognize from Popeye and Son is Bryce Malick. I don't know why.
I don't even recognize him, so... God, this is long, Christ. The actual show, moving into the actual show.
Let's see what else we can hate on.
Yeah, really. In most appearances except during World War II era, Popeye is a middle-aged sailor with a unique way of speaking, disproportionately muscular forearms with two anchor tattoos, thinning red hair, and ever-present corncob pipe, which he toots like a steamship's whistle at times. Despite some mistaken characterizations over the years, Popeye is generally depicted as having only one eye, his left, and at least one Fleischer cartoon blued over first to Popeye as one-eyed runt. Most quiet as to how he lost his right eye, the sailor claims it was in the most artful battle of his life. Okay, whatever. Later versions of the character had both eyes, with one of them merely being squinty or squinky, as he put it. According to the official site, Popeye is 34 years old and was born in a typhoon off Santa Monica, California.
Did not know he was born in a typhoon.
I don't know how the hell you can be born in a typhoon. So, guys, or listeners, guys, girls, aliens, whatever, whoever's listening to this show. Neutrinos, what?
I said spinach eaters.
Oh, spinach eaters. Okay, I was like, what the hell is
those
a neutrino?
Two, those two.
What I want you guys to do is comment on this episode post at geekcastradio.com when we release this episode and let us know how the hell someone can be born in a typhoon.
And give us your best Popeye voice. I don't know.
They can't do that in text, you moron.
In a voicemail.
Oh, in a voice. Well, you didn't say. I was talking about the website.
Sorry, I got sidetracked.
We are so
I'm like nice. I'm like Popeye. I'm schizophrenic right now.
Jesus fucking Christ. In addition to gravelly voice and a casual attitude towards grammar, Popeye is known for having an apparent speech impediment, which either comes naturally or is caused by the ever-present pipe in his mouth. Among other things, he has problems enunciating a trailing T, thus fist becomes fisk, and infant becomes infink. Oh, God. It's like I'm reading English over here.
That's how Popeye speaks.
Yeah, I know.
And of course,
fucking Ebonics.
He was Ebonics before. He's like, wait, he had energy drinks before we had energy drinks. He spoke in Ebonics before Ebonics existed.
He's spoken Ebonics or he's smoking Ebonics?
He's doing both. He's also obviously depicted as having superhuman strength. You could say that he was along with a couple other early cartoon characters, he's almost like a forerunner to superheroes. Even though there is no absolute sense of continuity in the series, certain plot and presentation elements remain mostly constant, including purposeful contradictions in Popeye's capabilities. Though at times he seems bereft of manners or uneducated, sometimes he's depicted as capable of coming up with solutions to problems that seem insurmountable. And Popeye has alternatively displayed Sherlock Holmes-like investigative prowess, so like we said before, he's all over the place.
Jesus Christ. Popeye's vastly versatile exploits are deemed even more amusing by a few standard plot points, or plot devices. You know, insert Matrix here. One is the love triangle between Popeye, Olive, and Bluto. The latter's endless machinations to claim Olive at Popeye's expense. Another is his near saintly perseverance to overcome any obstacle to please Olive, who quite often treats him like dirt and ends up being the only character capable of beating him up. Finally, in terms of the endless array of villain plots, Popeye mostly comes to the truth by accidentally sneaking in on the villains and a moment they are bragging about the scheme's ingenuity, thus revealing everything to an enraged Popeye, who uses his fists in the name of justice. I didn't even mean to do that.
That was perfect, though. By the end of this show, all hosts and co-hosts will be speaking like Popeye.
Oh, God. I just thought of something. We have a guy over at This Week in Geek, Mike Laidman. His he's on Nerd News with us, and his moniker is Mike the Fist of Justice Laidman. And this Sunday when we record Nerd News, I'm going to call him Mike the Fisk of Justice Laidman.
See if anybody gets it.
Yeah. Oh, God. We've kind of already talked about the actual fucking show, guys. I mean...
Yeah, the show's over. No.
Show's over. It's over.
That part of the show, I mean.
Yeah.
Basically, it's just, yeah, like we said before, it's a repetition of the same stuff over and over again.
Yeah, and, you know, there's virtually no continuity whatsoever. And there wasn't really continuity in cartoons of that time.
But this was even less so, somehow.
Yeah.
Not only was there no continuity, also the character switches personalities.
Yeah, really.
I do like
this. I think the only one that had the same personality throughout the entire run was Wimpy. You know, Mr. Hamburglar there.
Yeah. Well, Popeye definitely didn't. That's for sure.
So, music segment.
I like the theme song. And everybody should know the at least one line of the theme song.
Okay.
Gotta know, I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. I don't know the rest of it, but I mean, everybody knows that part. Come on.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna sing it though.
You just did.
I meant the whole thing. Just the first line. And it was composed by Sammy Lerner in 1933 for Fleischer's first Popeye the Sailor cartoon. The song itself was inspired by the first two lines of the Pirate King song in Gilbert and Sullivan's The Pirates of Penzance, for I am a pirate king, so I'm the Popeye the Sailor Man. So that's basically where that came from. And a cover of the song performed by Face to Face is included on the 1995 tribute album Saturday Morning Cartoons Greatest Hits, which I think we referenced about 70 episodes ago.
Yeah, we've referenced that a couple of times. Moving into the legacy segment here, before we really get started with this, we should bring up that old faithful top 100 animated series list.
Still working on burning IGN to the ground. I was going to get help with one of your co-hosts on Whatchamacallit.
So, once again, we refer to the top 100 animated series of all time list by our good friends over at IGN.com. Popeye was ranked number 68.
Optimus Solo refuses to comment on this.
Okay, now, I'm sorry. I have to read this. I'm sorry. I just have to. This is what it says in the IGN listing, and I will put the IGN link in the show notes. Today, Popeye might be merely seen as the greatest endorsement of one of the most lackluster vegetables of all time, but back in the day, this malformed, one-eyed corn cob pipe smoking sailor was the complete franchise. In 1929, Popeye appeared as a supporting character, which we've already known. Olive oil, soon comic strip, blah, 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 found him getting pounded to a pulp by nudinks until he could finally ingest his weed. I injected that. It's pretty much the same thing that we've talked about, but I thought the beginning part was kind of funny. You know, lackluster vegetables and all, but yeah, 68. I think that's a well-deserved number, actually, for Popeye.
That's the only thing they got right on that damn list.
Computer animated television, what?
Yes, in 2004, Lionsgate Entertainment produced a computer animated television special, Popeye's Voyage, The Quest for Pappy, which was made to coincide with the 75th anniversary of Popeye.
Okay.
And Billy West performed the voice of Popeye. But after the first day of recording, his throat was so sore, he had to return to his hotel room and reportedly drink honey. That's so random. So apparently his voice is not super easy to do. And the uncut version was released on DVD 2004 and was aired in a re-edited version on Fox in 2004 and again in 2005. Its style was influenced by the 30s cartoons and featured Sweepy, Wimpy, Bluto, who is actually Popeye's friend in this version, Olive Oil, Poop Deck, Pappy, which is Popeye's dad, and the Sea Hag.
Yeah. You know, Billy West is a great guy, and he's a great voice actor, but maybe he should have used some olive oil instead of honey.
That's true.
But I'm bummed. Popeye has made brief parody appearances in modern animated productions, including a typical Popeye-style rescue was spoofed in the Simpsons episode Jaws Wired Shut. Popeye appeared in the Drawn Together episode The Lemon AIDS Walk, voiced by Billy West. He was in Family Guy, Cavalcade of Christian Comedy, Bob Dylan Hart. Oh, okay. Let's see. He was in Robot Chicken. He was in ABC's Full House, South Park, Sling Blade. Yeah, a bunch of crap.
Here's an interesting note on the video games. The Nintendo arcade game Donkey Kong was originally conceived as a Popeye video game, so it was originally supposed to be Popeye, not Donkey Kong. But due to licensing disagreements with King Features, the idea was scrapped. When Donkey Kong went on to enormous success, King Features agreed to license the characters to Nintendo. Sorry, guys, little too late.
You know, I can just imagine
somebody had to get fired.
Yeah, but this is not what I was going to say. I can just imagine a little 6-bit Popeye
climbing up
these ladders and jumping these barrels to get to this giant Bluto with a twig-thin olive oil. Oh, God.
It would have worked.
Yeah, it would have worked.
I like Donkey Kong better, though. It's a good thing.
Well, yeah, that's a good thing. In 1995, the Popeye comic strip was one of 20 included in the comic strip classic series of commemorative U.S. postage stamps. Okay. 1988 film Who Framed Roger Rabbit featured many classic cartoon characters, and the absence of Popeye was noted by some critics. Popeye actually had a role planned for the film, but Disney could not get the rights from Paramount in time.
Dun dun dun. Which is weird because they got rights from so many people for that movie.
Well, yeah.
That it's surprising that apparently Popeye's people didn't want him to be Donkey, the video arcade game, didn't want him to be on Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Oh, well.
Oh, well. The popularity of Popeye helped boost the sales of weed. Oops. I mean spinach. Spinach consumption increased 33% in the United States between 1931 and 1936 as Popeye gained popularity, saving the spinach industry in the 1930s.
If that's not legacy, folks, I don't know what is.
Oh, Christ.
The events and honors about Popeye. The Popeye Picnic is held every year in Chester, Illinois, on the weekend after Labor Day, which is apparently Popeye's hometown. Popeye fans attend from across the globe, including a visit by a film crew from South Korea in 2004. The One-Eyed Sailor's hometown strives to entertain devotees of all ages. So if you're a huge Popeye fanatic, every weekend after Labor Day, I guess, show up in Chester, Illinois. I don't even want to know what it looks like there. If there's people dressed up like Olive Oil and Bluto and Popeye, that's like a bad stripper porno or something. With drugs and stuff involved.
Oh, my God. How far are you from Chester?
I don't know. I got to look it up. I've never heard of Chester. I'm hoping it's way down far south, so I can't even be near it. And in honor of Popeye's 75th anniversary, the Empire State Building illuminated its notable tower lights green the weekend of January 16th through the 18th, 2004, as a tribute to the icon's enormous love of spinach. This special lighting marked the only time the Empire State Building ever celebrated the anniversary or birthday of a comic strip character. I don't know why, but I found that interesting.
Oh, God.
You can talk about the movie.
Yeah, Popeye film was Robin Williams' first ever movie role. Also starred Paul Smith as Bluto, Shelley Duvall as Olive Oil, with songs by Harry Nilsson. Script was by Jules Pfeiffer. I don't know what
that is. That's all you need to say about the movie.
Yeah. and in 2010, it was announced that Sony Pictures would produce a Popeye 3D movie. The film, starring Jim Carrey as Popeye, Amy Adams as Olive Oil, Bill Murray as Bluto, slash Brutus, and the film features Jackie Chan as Popeye's bodyguard, Ojo.
Did Popeye ever have a bodyguard?
No.
I do have to say something, though. Number one, I have no idea how Bill Murray can pull off Bluto or Brutus, but Jim Carrey is absolutely perfect casting for Popeye. In my opinion, if they can make him bald and look like
a family. Would have, well,
he's not from a physical appearance. If a physical appearance to take some makeup and some whatnot, but from a comedic and like personality wise,
right? Talk about character wise, yeah.
Jim Carrey is a schizophrenic, so he's perfect for Popeye.
Yeah.
How is Bill Murray going to pull off Bluto?
I don't know.
He's not big and fat and rapist like.
Now.
I don't view Bill Murray as a kidnapping rapist.
Oh.
I hope this doesn't ruin my Bill Murray fan love.
God.
And Amy Adams is way hotter than
Olive Oil. How the hell do I come back from that? Oh my God.
Amy Adams is way hotter than Olive Oil.
Yeah.
I could find a girl
as far as
hotter than Olive Oil.
As far as Carrie as Popeye, you know, you said makeup and all that stuff. Plus, you know, I know Jim Carrey does a lot for roles as far as, you know, putting himself into them and doing whatever he has to do to make the role authentic enough. I'm pretty sure they could get away with giving him a bald cap and he wouldn't have to shave his head.
Well, I think that's the easy part. It's the muscles.
Oh,
God.
I mean, Popeye has to have biceps that are, like, bulging.
God, I for some strange reason, I'm thinking of a skinny version of the Thing costume.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, God.
I'm interested in this, actually.
I
might actually watch this.
So, DVD collections. We have Popeye the Sailor, 1933-38, Volume 1. Popeye the Sailor meets Sinbad the Sailor. Oh, God. And Popeye the Sailor meets Baba's 40 Thieves. Oh, Ali Baba's 40 Thieves. Popeye the Sailor, 38-40, Volume 2. Aladdin and His Wonderful Lamp. Popeye the Sailor, 41-43, Volume 3. Popeye and Friends, Volume 1. The All-New Popeye Hour. Popeye and Son. Was scheduled but canceled before being released. 75th Anniversary Collector's Edition, released April 27, 2004, features 85 cartoons from the Popeye the Sailor 1960s series.
So there is some and versions out there that you could buy if you wanted to.
Yes.
Mostly the older, either the original King Features or the Fleischer theatrical cartoons. And if you ever get the King Feature ones, watch out, because apparently, from what I've read and the research I've done and some of the stuff I've watched, the King Features versions are almost unwatchable. Because they shipped them out to five different studios. I meant to bring this up earlier, but what happened was they were so rushed to get them out that a lot of times you'll see certain characters' mouths moving and other ones talking. You will see someone being like smiling in a time when they should be sad or something like that. You'll find let's see, what was some of the other mistakes that you'll find? You'll find background scenes being used over and over and over again in different cartoons. Like there was one that aired back to back, like two 6-minute cartoons that aired back to back that had the exact same painted background scenes in both shows. And I don't know why they aired them back to back, because it definitely was something even kids would notice. But there are so many screw ups in the King Features versions that it apparently is just terrible. Whether it's the music, just animation mistakes. Like I said, characters talking with different characters' voices, like seeing Popeye's mouth moving but having olive oil talking. So the fact that they had to basically ship it out to five different animation studios, and that those animation studios were rushed, is just a whole plethora of errors in the King Features one. That's why usually you only find the Fleischer cartoons on DVD.
Maybe she was pulling his strings.
Oh, Jesus. And apparently you can't find the you can only find one version of Popeye and Friends, which is the Hanna-Barbera one, and you can't find Popeye and Son, I don't think, anywhere.
No, it was canceled.
The second volume was canceled. Yeah, the one with Popeye and Son, yeah, that was canceled. So you can't find that anywhere. You can find a very small bit of the Hanna-Barbera one. I don't know, you might not even be able to find the King Features ones anywhere unless you like get like bootleg copies of something. So if you're going to buy them on DVD, you're going to get the old theatrical cartoons, the originals.
Yes. And with that, we are going to take a much deserved break.
Dreamcast will be back after these messages.
Sword of Omens, give me sight beyond sight. I see a new episode of Dreamcast coming this week.
This is Dr. Wily, and I will destroy Mega Man while listening to Tooncast!
Now back to Tooncast!
So, final thoughts on Popeye.
Did we just talk for, like, over an hour on Popeye?
Let me look, actually.
That is not what I expected to do tonight.
Let's see here.
We knocked out Mighty Mouse and Woody Woodpecker in like a record time, and somehow we just spent like hours and hours on Popeye. It seems
an hour and 12 minutes and 5 seconds on Popeye.
That damn DeLorean and MapQuest direction.
And that's not in MapQuest. Don't you know you're supposed to use Google? Damn it!
Damn it! That's why we got off track.
But I mean, and that 112 minute conversation is just on the first 7 parts of the podcast. That's not counting what we're recording now and the intro and the outro. So this
intro alone was another 20 minutes.
Yes, it was.
Wow. Next time I write a script, I will use Google Maps instead of MapQuest. my final thoughts. My final thoughts are, just to continue with the show here. Of course, we're going to get off track. My final thoughts are, I love Popeye the character. I would watch If I could watch just Popeye doing things without any other characters from the show, that would be great. Like, if they could have brought Popeye, like, you know how Hanna-Barbera did, like, the Laugh Olympics or Fender Bender 500?
Right.
If they could have brought Popeye and just placed him amongst better characters, I would watch it. But I prefer not to watch Popeye because that means I also have to watch A Kidnapping Rapist and Olive Oil.
And I meant to point this out earlier when I was talking about the actual show, because...
Did we talk about the actual
yes.
show?
Yes. And, you know, I didn't bring it up at the time. I was going to, but I don't know. I was distracted or something or other. In the actual show, it actually says in the description that you got, it says that Olive Oil is pretty much the only one that can beat up on Popeye. So basically, you have Popeye, who is technically a wimp and then on steroids or smoking weed. Or not smoking weed. Smoking a pipe and eating weed. Brutus or Bluto, whatever the fuck his name is, who is a kidnapping, potentially future rapist. And then you have Olive Oil, who is this ugly-ass street hoe that beats up on Popeye. And it's like, oh, God.
So the reason you know this cartoon came out started in the 30s or whatever is because it advocates things like rape, kidnap, domestic abuse, smoking, and chewing on weed / tobacco or whatever else you can fit in a can.
Oh, boy.
I just did not. And eating piles and piles of hamburgers.
I am severely wondering how alcohol did not get in this cartoon because holy crap.
And it advocated speaking with a slur or speech impediment on purpose when it's not something that you have to do, and walking around with one eye. I don't know how it advocates walking around with one eye, but I had to throw that in there.
But I am really...
And calling your friends names like Wimpy.
Yeah, really. I am really wondering how alcohol did not make it into the show, because 1929, was that the last year of Prohibition? Or was it the beginning? I forget.
Why are you trying to make me think I'm outside of my work hours? 1919 was... No, I'm thinking of the 19th Amendment. That's what the one was. I don't know time-wise what that was. Do you know what else it advocates? It advocates parents force-feeding their children vegetables. And for that, Popeye, I hate you. I'm just kidding. I love you, Popeye. I just hate your friends.
Okay, I have to look this up. Prohibition in the United States. Oh, crap. I'm such a dork.
I'm surprised there wasn't more violence, like in form of guns or stuff like that.
It's 1887, General Court, Dillman of the Prohibition.
It also advocated punching people out.
1840s, 1850s.
Punch your friends out when they try to go after your ugly girlfriend instead of thanking them for taking her off your hands.
Yeah, Prohibition was an important force in state and local politics from the 1840s through the 1930s. So Popeye came out in 1929, so I'm not so...
They couldn't have slipped that one by the censors.
They could have.
They could slip Kidnapping Rapist by the censors, but not alcohol. Maybe that's what the spinach was supposed to be. But since they couldn't do it, they said that, we'll make a spinach in a can, even though it should be beer.
Oh, God.
And it would make sense because drinking a can of beer does make dumb people want to punch people. I've seen it happen in bars. You have a love triangle, a can of beer, it doesn't end well.
Oh, man.
I've never been.
I know. I'm just.
And it makes ugly girls look better.
Damn it. That's another friggin' movie I have to add to the MR schedule. You mentioned, you know, drunken bar fights and all that crap, and I'm thinking, holy crap, Cameron Poe. Con Air.
Oh, yeah.
So
I was thinking of what is it, Good Will Hunting, when Matt Damon gets in a fight in a bar?
Oh, Jesus. Hey, leave Good Will Hunting alone, Dan.
But that explains it. That explains why Olive Oil was gone after by Popeye, because it was supposed to be beer instead of spinach, which means Popeye would not have known what she looked like.
Thank you.
I have learned so much today.
Yes. That's the
That's the mission of Tooncast. It's not cartoons we grew up with anymore. It's teaching the kids to eat alcoholic weed.
Eat alcoholic weed? I want to know if that's possible.
Oh God!
I don't want to do it. I just want to hear somebody else do it. I want to be there when someone else does that.
Thank you for joining us here on Tooncast. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. You can comment on each episode post. I'm expecting a lot of comments.
I was going to say, maybe we shouldn't give these.
Yes. Join the forums, productonempire.com/nexus. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. The show name there is GCRN Tooncast. That's all one word. Mine is TFG and Mike. What is your Twitter?
The Kidnapping Rapist.
The Kidnapping Rapist? What the hell?
I'm just kidding. I was trying to be Bluto. Boss Kato. I didn't want people to find me. Because I'm hating on their loved.
It's not like you actually use Twitter unless you're bitching people out nowadays anyways. So anyway.
No, my only Twitter is BTVA. That's what I use now.
Follow us on... become a fan on Facebook. Search Geekcast Radio Network. We are currently running a Facebook fan page contest. If you help us get to 300 fans, we will give away 2 Stan Bush prize packs, which include an autographed CD from his new album Dream the Dream and a Stan Bush t-shirt. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821.
Give us your best Popeye impersonation.
We hope you enjoyed or ran in terror from this episode of Tooncast.
If you made it to the end, I applaud you.
We wish you'll join us next time when we'll be reminiscing on Super Friends, all incarnations of Super Friends.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so it's superhero time. Wow, that was horrible. For now, I am TFG and Mike with...
Optimus Solo from BehindTheVoiceActors.com.
Thank you for listening. Until next time. What, no pipe whistling?
Toot toot.
In the great hall of the Justice League, there are assembled the world's 4 greatest heroes, created from the cosmic legends of the universe. Superman, Wonder Woman, Batman, Aquaman, and those 3 junior super friends, Wendy, Marvin, and Wonder Dog. Their mission, to fight injustice, to right that which is wrong, and to serve all mankind.
Banded together from remote galaxies are 13 of the most sinister villains of all time, the Legion of Doom, dedicated to a single objective, the conquest of the universe. Only one group dares to challenge this intergalactic threat, the Super Friends. The Justice League of America versus the Legion of Doom. This is the Challenge of the Super Friends.